Welcome back, Midday Show. Is that what we're doing here today? We're kung fu fighting?
It's kind of a banger.
It's not a banger. I think we need this more on the show, if I'm being honest. All right, a lot to discuss here with the Eagles. Are you expecting a win despite the injuries on Sunday? We don't have official designation, but it is leading towards no AJ, no Lane, no Devontae. Are expecting a victory. And a lot of debate earlier. We got the news report, whatever you call it, but Rich Cimini covers Jets up in New York, that he heard that Hassan Reddick wouldn't
little
mind.
Little Birdie
told him Hassan wouldn't mind coming back. So how about the idea of trading Huff to the Jets? He worked there. He doesn't work here. Trading Reddick back here. He doesn't want to play there anymore. He wants to come back here. Let's do it. I'm in. Hughes not. And should the Eagles be careful with Saquon's usage? Let's get into all the conversation here. 215-592-9494. OG Wade is up, as I know he's looking forward to hopefully a big game out of Jalen on Sunday. What's up, OG?
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
Good, OG. What are you feeling?
I'm feeling strong about this game. It's actually going to prove my point that you don't need a top 10 receiver to win in this league. I think that when receivers such as these prima donna receivers that, you know, we often see in this league, it put pressure on the quarterback to have to get the guy this many touches. I think this game will be a lot more comfortable for Jalen because there's no one out there that's doing feet and clap his hands if he don't get enough targets. You know what I'm saying? He'll be able to just...
Yeah, Wade, bad, you're breaking man. Up. So that's okay. We got his point. Wade, we appreciate the call. You're breaking up. I couldn't tell if it was my headset, but then I looked at you guys and like, no one could hear
it. Let's hope Hurts doesn't choke as badly as OG Wade's phone did.
No, so that's strong. Here is what Hugh, I think it's interesting. I mean, look, if I could have a top 10 receiver or not, I'll take the top 10 receiver. But I do think sometimes that what he's saying checks out to where the quarterback could just throw it to who's ever open, not have to concentrate. I have to get this guy targets. An example, we brought him up a lot yesterday when we were discussing Jalen. Josh Allen, it seems like he's distributing the ball more to everyone without having to force it to Stephon Diggs. I don't know if you caught what he said after the game last Sunday or Monday night when they blew out the Jaguars. He said, and I'm paraphrasing him, but he said something like, it's nice to have a bunch of guys that just want to win and not worried about their numbers. And
yeah, he took a little bit inadvertent shot.
No, he didn't say Diggs' name, but like he has kind of no-name receivers now, young receivers.
Yeah, but he's grown a lot as a quarterback. Yep. Not saying that Jalen hasn't, but history has shown that Jalen plays better when AJ's on the field and Devontae. Now, this weekend, to OG Wade's point, this is a big test for Jalen. And it's compounded by the fact that you have to go against your nemesis, look, big brother, in this situation. And what I talked about, how Coach Bowles has done a tremendous job of negating the weapons that you've had in the past. So, and to be fair, AJ wasn't on the field in the playoffs, so that was something. But now that concerns me even more with the weather being what it is. We got Saquon. There's going to be some opportunities to run the ball, but how effective is it going to be with that weather being what potentially it is? So that has me concerned a little bit.
And this feels like a game to me where Jalen's going to have to run the football. Like he did it against the Falcons because he didn't have his full complement out there. If I'm him, Hewitt, and I got Jahan Dotson, I have Paris Campbell, do I trust those guys? Or do I say,
that's the thing, Joe,
or do I say I'll just tuck it and run for 10?
And that's
10?
The thing. Are they going to fight for the football? Because we know Big Batman and Skinny Batman, they somewhat fight for the football. So that's something that you have to think about.
Of course, and you don't want to throw a pick, so you might see him run the football more. Let's go to George in the Northeast. Hey, George.
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 Yeah, guys.
Hey, George. What's up, George?
I mean, come on.
My bad. Listen, I'm going to make a point that I want to see if you guys allow me to do a shout-out right at the end before you guys switch over.
Go ahead, George. Go ahead.
What you got, dog?
So the whole thing about, Bryce Huff, I agree with you 100%. A lot of people just don't realize, especially Eagles fans, you know, we want things like right off the bat. We want to see production right off the bat. But we already knew coming into the season that this was a high-risk, high-reward type of player coming in. We knew that he was going to have to sit here and you know, be given the chance to ascend. But when you sit here and you let's compare to Hassan Reddick, Bryce Huff didn't start a game. His stats almost align with Hassan Reddick's stats from last year. Sacks, quarterback hurries, quarterback hits, quarterback pressures. I mean, and he didn't even start one game. So to sit here and not give a player time to become what we're expecting him to become, not Hassan Reddick, but to become Bryce Huff. You know, we're kind of sitting here putting too much, you know, emphasis on, oh, he's not doing anything, rather than allowing him to sit here and progress.
Yeah, but you know, the unfortunate thing about what you're saying, and you're right, but this is the NFL, and fans are rabid, and we don't have the luxury of seeing it that way. I mean, it's not, I'm not saying it's right. It is what it is. He has to step up this week, though, because this is going to get worse. This is going to get worse before it gets better.
So, George, I understand your point, and I agree with you. And if there's no other option, then we got to give him a chance and got to cross our fingers and hope. But, if the Jets called tomorrow and they said, we'll take him back and you want Reddick back, you'd say no?
Absolutely, because the money, I would say no, because the money that Hassan Reddick, just let's just, you know, think that we know how much money he wants, right? But if we're making the implication of how much money, or assumption of how much money he wants, we can go get Max Crosby. We can go get somebody who's going to fill that edge, another player from another team that team really isn't going anywhere. And maybe that player is sitting here saying, you know what, I got this contract just now. My team is not really going to go anywhere for the next couple of years. Do I want to sit here and play for a contender, or kind of waste away like some other players in the league have done with other teams when they sit here and they just give them, you know, the I'll stay here forever, you know, my life is here, my heart is here, whatever the case may be. So, no, I wouldn't take Hassan Reddick back at all, no.
Yeah, well, George, I mean, some people are with you. I would go the other way. George, we preached the phone call. I mean, he threw up Max Crosby's name. Sure, please give me Max Crosby. I don't think that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, over the next month, is there any player they could get that's better than Hassan Reddick to help them rush the quarterback?
No, not right now, and that's what you're talking about.
Probably
you're talking
not.
About the availability,
well,
and the fact that we've worked together
right.
for a while.
That's so, what yeah. makes this so unique. It's like, you know he could play here. You know he's been comfortable here. He's ascended here. He's, you know, he's been great here. And it works for the other side, too. I mean, the part of the Rich Domini thing that we played earlier, it's like the Jets miss Huff.
Yeah,
it's both sides are missing the one that they gave away. It even though it does feel almost in a sense like ridiculous that they would make this trade.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense, it's like it does make some sense. They each worked in the other place, and everyone for a while was happy.
And everybody would be happy if you just take it back to what it was.
Yeah.
But here's the one thing that I think you're missing, Joe, is that thing called pride. And nobody wants to be wrong.
Yeah, I checked that at the door.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Especially when you talk about the Jets and the way that they've handled this. The Jets have had moves, and I would say probably the last 5 or 6 years, that people have deemed idiotic.
Five or six? How about 50?
Okay, I'm just saying. I was just trying to be, you know. They've done some bonehead stuff. I think, if I'm not mistaken, especially this regime.
Yeah.
This is the first time that they kind of botched the whole Aaron Rodgers thing initially.
Well, and they drafted Zach Wilson with the second pick in the draft.
They've done a lot of bonehead things. So this is along the lines of more bonehead things. So they got to at least get a win at some point.
But
so
are they winning
gonna play
right
hard.
Now?
Well, they're going to play hardball. Like, for them, because they got the checkbook, They're looking at it like, we're going to make Hassan Reddick pay. Because if you give him what he wants, they win. And even if Hassan Reddick does want to come back to the Eagles, then you're basically saying, now on the flip side of that, the Eagles are saying, we made a mistake by getting Bryce Huff. And I know Howie well enough to know that he ain't ready to eat that turd. He ain't about to do that. He ain't about to do that.
I don't know about that.
Like, I don't think so.
Howie eats a lot of turds. I mean, he...
He does.
The trading for A.J. Brown was basically eating the Jalen Reagor turd. Like, he ate the turd of not being able to draft a wide receiver for years here. And then he finally bit the bullet and made the trade for A.J.
All
Brown.
All that
like,
matters is
this.
The end result. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know if Howie, when he was younger, would have been able to do that. I think he's realized this as he becomes, you know, deeper into his tenure, which has been a long time now, that all we care about is the end result. So, like... I mean, speaking about eating turds, they drafted a fireman in the first round. They drafted Danny Watkins in the first round.
I remember that.
They got Jason Kelsey in the sixth round of
Mailata
that draft.
Mailata and Dillard.
Yeah.
Mailata starting over Dillard. That's a turd that he ate. Like, how he's eaten so many.
We should rank the turds.
I'm looking at that as more as like hedging your bets when you talk about guys.
Okay,
right? Well,
yeah.
But at the end of the day, he ate the turd of getting rid of Dillard and letting Mailata play. Like, by the way, like, if this ends up happening, Huff for Reddick, Nobody looks dumber than the Jets. Howie escapes the turd eating because the Jets will have eaten a mound of poop, dude.
Wait, at some point, we'd have to rank who are the dumbest people coming out of this.
It's the Jets.
Yeah, it's always the when in doubt, the Jets are dumb. I mean, that's the bottom
line. Like when they drafted that guy from Central State.
In the first round.
Yeah, that was probably one of the best things they ever done in their career.
They don't know who he is.
Let's go to Terry in Maryland. What's up, Terry?
I'll hear a turd talk going on over here.
Yeah, well, we had to bring you on to settle things down. Terry, can you tell Hugh how plant-based he is today? It's unbelievable.
Yeah, being a little too plant-based, man. You need to relax. Take a gummy before that game starts, man.
Wait a minute. How am I being plant-based, though, by being logical in my assessment of this situation?
But you don't understand. Being logical is being plant-based.
Okay, we don't do that here.
Okay, fine.
Check logic at the door. Go ahead, Terry.
Let the game come to the fellas. They're going to take care of business. It's one man for himself. Let him take care of it out there. They know what to do.
Darn right, Terry. Tell him. I mean, like,
Terry, is that it?
That's it. They know what to do. They're going down there to get a victory.
Okay, well, Terry, let me ask you this question since they know what to do. What happened when they played the Falcons? They forgot?
They didn't know that night.
They didn't know?
Yeah,
okay, gotcha.
Let's throw that one out the window. I don't want to hear about that one anymore.
My bad. I won't talk about that one anymore.
We highlight the wins. No. We flush the losses.
No, but here's the thing. Here's the thing, Terry. Yeah. They had to get upset in order to go out there and play well against the Saints. They had to feel disrespected. That doesn't bother you a little bit? Like, not even in the least?
No, it does. You know, it does. They should, you know, and that guy got fined for what he did to Devontae. He deserved it.
That was the one that came in late, though. That wasn't the initial hit. That was the late hit.
No, but, you know, what they were doing to him, they were pushing their button a little too much, and, you know, you see what happened.
No, there. I get it.
So you expect to win on a Sunday, Terry?
Yeah, I do. And on the Reddick thing, you know what? I would definitely take him if we have to get him. You know, it doesn't look very promising on that pass rush right now.
It does not. No, it's been poor. I mean, Terry, we appreciate the phone call. I would love to have the phone bugged when if Howie calls Joe Douglas. Who do you think if this actually happens? Who do you think would initiate the conversation? Is it Howie texting Joe? Is it Joe sending the message to Howie? Like, who's the one that's like, hey? What if we just swapped them back?
Who's sending the message? Man. I would probably say Howie.
I agree with you.
If we're doing that scenario, I would say Howie. Joe's not calling.
Yeah, I think it's Howie. Hey, Joe.
It's because it's a bigger turd for Joe to eat. Like, Howie comes out looking better.
It's a pride thing. So, yeah, I think. I hear what you're saying when you're talking about the turd eating.
I could see Howie's sending, like, almost like a half-kidding text message.
Hey,
like,
what you doing?
Like, hey, what if we just swapped them back? Ha ha. Yeah, like maybe an emoji, maybe not, but like he throws it in there and then just see where it goes.
An eyes emoji.
Yeah, an eyes emoji. And he sees, does Joe leave him on red? Does he respond right away?
He just sends K.
What if Hassan Reddick, when he comes back, he says, before I come back, I need you to apologize to me publicly. Like, I'm sorry.
Then we do it.
Then, I'll do it for him.
Okay.
As a station, we'll all apologize to Reddick to get him back. Are you participating, Hugh?
No.
We're trying to win.
Not apologizing. What I'm apologizing to Reddick for? For leaving? For wanting his money? No.
We're just trying to get him.
We just want to be happy. That's it, right?
We just want to win football games. Yeah, simple, easy, least resistance.
You know what I need Coach Fangio to do? Coach the young fella up, man. Coach Bryce Huff. Bryce Huff up. Coach him up. Do me that favor.
Or you get him a better player and you say, just put him out there.
But you want to be honest. You know what that sounds like? Something that probably Coach Fangio would want to do. That's probably what he would do. Go get me the guy that I don't have to really coach and I can just skate my wing and go into retirement whenever I get ready to go.
Absolutely. I mean, golden parachute to retirement and more sacks for the Eagles.
That's what it kind of feels like.
I'm fine with that.
It's starting to feel like that a little bit, though. The way he's handling Huff and the fact that he moved back home to be close to his family, I'm starting to look at Coach Fangio a little different, man. I'm serious.
I'm
just saying. I'm looking at him a little different now. I mean, he don't want to really coach nobody. He just want to, you know, put the old heads out there and not use this young Thundercat to do his thing.
Is it what's the resort in Seinfeld called?
Del Boca Vista.
Yeah, Del Boca Vista.
Wear white shoes and move down to Del Boca Vista.
We are Vic Fangio's Del Boca Vista right now.
Nick and Trenton. What's up, Nick?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Good morning.
What's up, buddy? What are you thinking?
Not much. So, a couple of things. I'm headed to the game on Sunday, flying out tomorrow. But it reminds me of an interesting game that I played. There's a lot of similarities. So I played fullback at Penn, mm-hmm. and we had a game where we had to go up to Harvard, and we were missing our two leading receivers, and we were missing our left tackle. And the strategy that we used to win the game basically was just run the ball. We just ran the ball like crazy. I think our running back had like 25, 30 touches the game. And I know it's a lot for Saquon.
Yeah, Joe don't want to do that. Joe worried about it.
30?
I know.
Joe worried about it.
I know that he doesn't want to hear that, but I'm just saying sometimes, you have these games, you got the weather, it's going to be raining. I think that, we run the ball on them, throw the ball in the right spots, get that, Goddard involved. I think that that's the key, and then just let the defense go to work, let the guys on the inside.
That sounds like a sound strategy to me, but Joe don't want to do that.
I'm just trying to keep the guy healthy throughout the season. So, Nick, you were a fullback at Penn?
That's right, yeah.
So, were you more of like a John Ritchie fullback, a Lorenzo Neal, Larry Centers?
I was a John Ritchie type of fullback.
This is really... You say you went to UPenn. Did you know Coach Steve Downs?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, that was me and Steve played together at Central State.
Oh, okay. How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I played with Justin Watson now, who's on the Chiefs.
Yeah.
He was out that, he was one of the two guys that was out that particular game. But, yeah, so we ended up winning the game, and it was a close one. We just controlled the clock, and I think that, you employ the same kind of strategy this game. I feel like it's going to be a low-scoring game, and I think we'll come out on top. And I'm going to be there, so we got to win.
Well, safe flight, Nick, and hopefully they get the win for you, Nick. We appreciate the phone call. Appreciate
it. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, now you guys got me a little bit here.
What we got?
Well, because you got not only another football guy, right? Nick's a football guy, former fullback. Hughes on this. I don't know if Kyle's a football guy. He went to Penn. Now I'm arguing with someone smarter, like smart.
Yeah, so when smart, he said smart. That, it validated everything that he was talking about.
Yeah.
So I get that.
I'm still disagreeing, but it's harder to disagree when we get the Penn people. How many Ivy Leaguers were going to get to call? Then you're just throwing them at me now.
That's awesome.
It feels as simple to me as that's the best path for them to win this game.
This game, I never said you're wrong. I'm trying to think big picture on this.
What if they give them Joe? What if they give them 20 instead of 30 touches?
Well, yeah,
is that really that big of a difference?
Yes.
No.
It's 50% more.
It's really not. Like in the grand scheme of things, 10 touches over the course of a season is nothing.
No, I know, but haven't you realized what we're doing? We're doing this every week because we're living in every week by itself. And then if you don't, it's almost like this, right? I got a dumb analogy for you, okay? Let's say you're trying to eat healthy, or someone said, yeah, you probably should cut back a little bit.
That doesn't compute.
Okay, well, not you, okay? And you say, what's one donut today? And you're just living in today. And you wake up tomorrow, you're like, what's one donut today? Mm-hmm. Living in today. You wake up 30 days from now, you've had 30 donuts. And you've probably not lost any weight.
I do that a lot.
I know, but you're not. Most people can relate to that. Like if you don't take a big picture look at things, you could get off track really fast.
Well, I understand that, but we're also like there's another element to this. Like you can set yourself up so that you don't have to do this again later in the season. Like the more you use,
so you want to win now to rest later.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like if they do this with Saquon. Teams are going to look at the Eagles and be like, man, they are going to feed this dude. Let's bring our safeties down, or let's bring an extra guy into the box. And then you have Devontae Smith. You have A.J. Brown. It just like that opens so many more things up for this offense. So I'm not saying they have to give him 30 touches a game necessarily, but I really don't see a big difference between 30 touches in this game and like 20.
Well, it's 10.
Right. But over the course of a season, that 10, it shouldn't kill him. And if it does, then, like, he was bound to get injured anyway.
215-592-9494. Let's get to a little Q&A here on a Friday.
Yes.
Get to know the Midday Show.
Yes.
What? Yes.
This is Q&A
yes.
on 94 WIP.
Being a little bit premature in my assessments today. But, yes, this is sponsored by the Jug Handle Inn. Award-winning wings, great food, and incredible specials. Spread your wings and rediscover the Jug.
I wonder if they have pumpkin wings out. It's that time of year.
No, it's about that time. Yeah. They probably do.
Yeah, we're getting
there. They got some good wings.
All right, so here's my question for Hugh and I this week. So what are the challenges, and did you feel like when you look back you did well or you struggled with wet fields in the rain. We're probably going to have a soggy field in Tampa, humid, muggy. They obviously have a lot of real weather issues right now.
Mm-hmm.
Probably be cleared out for the most part, but the field's probably going to be all wet. And was it difficult? What was it like for you as a pass rusher in the rain and wet?
I never liked playing in the rain because they never threw the ball as much. And the opportunities to rush the passer weren't as abundant as they would be in fair weather or good weather, I should say. You'd never get a chance to do that. So I used to hate playing in the rain because you knew going into the game that they weren't going to throw the ball as much. They're not going to put the ball in harm's way like they normally would. So going into this game, knowing the fact that this team has given up a lot of sacks, that might not be the case this week. You know, you're talking about 4-sack game, 7-sack game, things of that nature. Weather being inclement, that's why when I came here this morning and I was thinking about this game and how it would potentially be, that was one of the things that I was thinking about. This is going to be a slog. And if the weather is rainy and the field, I'm pretty sure the field is covered now. But as the game progresses, it's going to pick up a lot of water. So it could get ugly towards the end. But, yeah, to answer your question, never like playing in the rain.
This the way you framed it and probably how the Bucs will handle it, we were talking about the Eagles maybe run the ball a lot. This does feel like it could be a 17-14 game,
yes.
19-17.
Yes. And this is where I understand that Jalen is excelling as a quarterback, but, man, that weather plays a huge factor in everything. And we've shown over the last couple of weeks with the running back that we have, when the game start, we like to throw the rock for whatever reason.
Well, they were in a dome last week. Maybe that was part of it.
Yeah, maybe. But even in the first game, we start out the game. Well, I take that one back.
They did
because
try
the first
run.
Game, they did try to feed him the rock, and he slipped and fell.
Field.
Yeah, he slipped and fell. So, you know, but I think this is going to be one of those ones, man, where, like you said, it's going to be a low-scoring game, and there's not going to be that many pass rushing opportunities.
Win ugly. I'm okay with win ugly. Too.